In July of 1997, police broke into the homes of Chandler farm workers in the middle of the night. This was not an uncommon occurrence in those 5 days of July for members of the local Latino community who had been questioned out on the street or in their local grocery store. With no knock, no warrant, armed with guns and canine dogs, police and Border Patrol would kick in doors to Latino residences in search of undocumented immigrants. That was justification enough. Those who did not have papers proving their citizenship were arrested, and many did not return to their homes ever again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Voices of Resilience podcast. My name is Ava.
And I'm Fatima.
And we are the host of today's episode. We are joined by Donna, Merritt, Charles, and Lan to discuss the Chandler Roundup, a 1997 operation that resulted in the detention and deportation of hundreds of suspected undocumented immigrants in Chandler, Arizona. The Chandler Roundup has not received much visibility in the media, despite the enormous impact it has had on the Latino community of Chandler and surrounding communities. This episode will focus on the impact of the Chandler Roundup during the operation, immediately following it, and its present effects.
As we mentioned, the Chandler Roundup has not been widely publicized, so we want to provide a brief history of the Roundup for anyone unfamiliar. Charles?
The Chandler Roundup was a five-day operation in which nearly 500 residents of Chandler, Arizona were detained and deported on suspicion of being undocumented immigrants, with 100 more being questioned and arrested. Working in tandem, U.S. Border Patrol and Chandler Police viewed the operation as standard action in response to state and federal concerns about the area's development, officially labeling it Operation Restoration. The operation sparked outrage and legal action from the Latino community in Chandler and surrounding areas who felt that the police used tactics like racial profiling, violating the civil rights of the people. Ultimately, the city admitted that the operation was mishandled, but maintained that Chandler police nor city officials set out to violate civil rights, even stating that they wished they had discussed more with the Chandler Latino community before going through with it.
During the Chandler Roundup, legal status, or lack thereof, was weaponized against the community. Merritt, would you like to talk about the impact this had?
Of course. Racial profiling of this nature was not new for the community, as community members like Joe Garcia had already recounted experience with police where Latinos were treated without respect due to the impression that they could be undocumented. Christina J. Duarte talks about her personal experience in an interview conducted by Dr. Rafael Martinez. She discusses certain aspects of her childhood growing up in the city as a Mexican-American. Her mother couldn't go to downtown Chandler, quote, during certain times
of the day, because you weren't allowed to if you were a certain color, and you can only walk on the sidewalk a certain time of the day.
In this way, Duarte's mother experienced how being a Latino woman living in Chandler came with an assumption that you were inferior as a person and therefore didn't deserve to have the same rights afforded to white residents. For this reason, she chose not to teach Duarte Spanish as a child, as she felt it allowed her to choose the way that she wanted to identify. The Roundup only exacerbated the fear of identity, costing immigrants their safety, and upheld the city system of deterring political participation and classifying immigrants as deserving and undeserving by nationalities. During the Chandler Roundup, the identity and legal status of the Latino community were weaponized against them. Resident Garcia said, quote, "If you were Latino, you were a target, especially if you had a dark complexion." Authorities were reported only questioning Latino residents based on how they looked and if they spoke Spanish. For mixed-status families, this added an additional layer of fear, as even if an individual was a citizen, they still had to worry about potential permanent separation from their family members. But even citizenship wasn't always enough protection. Many U.S. citizens and legal residents, 16 mentioned in the lawsuit, were detained.
Definitely. And to add on to that, this has had a profound impact on the Latino community in Chandler, as they felt that they had been racially profiled. For this reason, many residents moved out of the area, fearing for their safety and feeling like they didn't belong. Juanita Encinas, a community advocate, said in a Carencia interview that, quote, "the scars of the Roundup will never go away," end quote.
Exactly. When the Roundup ended, the impact and the fear didn't just stop with it. Lan, can you talk more about this?
When the Chandler Roundup came to an end on July 31st, critics and advocates against the operation were struck by the dehumanization of Latinos in the community. The Los Angeles Times alludes to this in their 1998 article, where it is explained that, quote, "the operation became known as the Roundup," which is an ironic term for a place where cattle still lived side by side within the factories of high-tech giants. The Roundup, to many in the Latino population in Chandler, was conducted in a manner that was not only intimidating but also demeaning, as if they were the cattle. Teresa Rodriguez, an individual affected by the Roundups, recalls feeling like she was being treated like an animal when being questioned. In another instance, Mary Romero of ASU recounts a witness account of two little girls, 7 and 10, who had been stopped by police and questioned. The officer had told them to keep their birth certificates on them or they would be deported to Mexico. Both girls kept saying, "Mom, we don't know Mexico." And so his questioning traumatized the girls, who insisted that their birth certificates be pinned to their clothes, refusing to leave the house. Children were deeply impacted by the roundup, as family members would be harassed or even detained and deported during those 5 days. For the community as a whole, Romero states that the race-related harassment resulted in deterring political participation, classifying immigrants as deserving and undeserving by nationalities, and dividing Latino neighborhoods based on citizenship status.
In the case of advocate Juanita Encinas, she was a U.S. citizen, but many of her family, friends, and neighbors were not. She was not only part of a mixed-status family, but a mixed-status community. She mentions the impact the Chandler Roundup had on the residents, even after it ended. Quote,
nobody would call. If you're going to be in an emergency, you're not going to call the police because they're going to come and then they're going to say, maybe show me your papers. You know, vamos a hacer esto. No. Mm-mm. You know, it was very bad.
But as a U.S. citizen, Encinas could act in a way they could not. After hearing what had happened, she insisted that she be put in contact with the mayor, who had been out of town the whole operation, and let him know she'd be filing a $5 million lawsuit, quote, immediately. This began the $35 million lawsuit brought forward by 55 plaintiffs on behalf of the community and forced an investigation looking into the conduct of the police during the roundup. As a result, many came together to create organizations that would provide a sense of community and connection. Joe Garcia and Eddie Encias created the Chandler Coalition for Civil and Human Rights, later renamed Calle de Arizona, in 1997 as a response to the roundups. The purpose of this organization was to prove to the city that it could work together with the community to create a positive impact and provide a space to promote Latino culture, such as by hosting events like the Cinco de Mayo Chihuahua races and mariachi festivals, and a way to instill leadership in Latino youth.
One final aspect that had an effect on the identities of those living in mixed-status households is the way that the Chandler Roundup and policies in the following decades have shaped the way that police get involved with Latino communities in the United States. Donna has more on that.
More than a decade after the Roundup, the Arizona State Legislature passed the controversial SB 1070 bill, which was presented as an anti-illegal immigration law. The bill's policies had deeper implications for immigrant communities within Arizona, though, as it prompted police and Border Patrol officers to verify the immigration status of individuals they suspected were undocumented. This led to an increase in racial profiling and generally made the Latino community feel targeted by law enforcement. The article, "Round Scars Are Slow to Heal," mentioned that this reopened a lot of wounds for people who had lived through the Chandler Roundup. A study by the University of Arizona found how deeply affected families were by this law. There was a high decrease in school enrollments due to the fear of parents sending their children to school. They began to distrust public institutions, specifically the schools their children attended. Parents had to be convinced that their kids would be safe. Many families considered leaving the state as a response to their fear. The loss of close ones led to an increase in anxiety among students, which in turn affected the work of school counselors. Due to many students being separated from their parents, counselors had to work with double the numbers to provide the support that many of their students were lacking. Some staff members who were around during this time even suspect an increase in teen marriages due to immigration statuses. Due to low enrollment, schools lost funding and had to deal with budget cuts. Students began to step away from social and civic engagement. Parents took a step back from getting involved with their children's schools. As you can see, the law not only affected families, but also institutions such as schools.
To this day, anti-immigration sentiment within Arizona is still extremely relevant. Not only are some policies of SB 1070 still active, but the upcoming 2024 election ballot includes Prop 314, giving state and local authorities the power to interrogate and verify the documentation status of individuals they find suspicious. With the risk of history repeating itself, families are afraid of reliving the fear that was present during the Roundup and SB 1070. Despite the backlash towards the Chandler Roundup, immigrants still face invasive profiling by authorities today, and more reform is certainly needed to give these communities the ability to live without fear.
Today, the landscape of Chandler looks very different, both in the literal development of the city and within the Latino community. The city has dramatically grown along with the development of the 202 and is now more connected to the neighboring cities like Mesa than ever before. But what this development has also meant is that the expansion of public facilities has expanded into traditionally Latino neighborhoods that no longer exist, driving out parts of the community that remained after the roundup.
But the growth of Chandler isn't just in its expansion. While the effects of the Chandler Roundup were undeniably harmful to the Latino community, the mobilization of the community in response to the operation still impacts change today. One example of this is how community events, organizations, and programs were created as a way to ensure that the Latino community and other groups in Chandler felt represented and supported, as well as being able to fully embrace their identities. Lonnie Petubo, who lived in Chandler for much of his upbringing, talks about how the city has changed quite a bit since the late 90s in this sense. He is now part of the Filipino-American National Historical Society, a group that meets in the Chandler area to promote the Filipino community as a whole. Alberto Esraza, one of the many activists from the Roundup, has formed many foundations and programs to support the Latino community. He founded the Si Se Puede Foundation in 1993 and recently the iRise Foundation in 2022 to provide STEM and other educational programs for girls of color, Native American youth, and LGBTQ plus support. His activism extends beyond the United States, serving schools in Mexico by also providing STEM programs for youth. Juanita Encinas has continued to be an advocate for the Latino community in Chandler. In 2022, her son, Angel Encinas, won the election for Chandler City Council, and he works to continue to make a difference in the Chandler community. And these are just a fraction of the examples. Many, many more organizations were born from the Chandler Roundup and persist despite it.
Immigration practices and viewpoints affect communities all over our state. The complexities of immigration not only impact communities as a whole, but also down to the family level. As we gathered from our research, the Chandler Roundup did not only affect those families who were affected firsthand, but also those who came after. The effects will be felt for generations to come. We believe it is essential to share these parts of history as we work to improve the rhetoric surrounding immigration. It's important to keep in mind how our communities are being affected by the policies we put in place. The Chandler Roundup is only in the recent past and has left a huge stain on the psyche and sense of belonging of the Latino community in Chandler. The lawsuit and protests from the community members forced the city to admit fault in the conduct of Border Patrol and the police. But today, it is threatened again by political campaigns such as Prop 314. Although the Chandler Roundup caused a lot of fear and insecurity amongst Arizona residents, it also served as a push to improve and protect the civil rights of Latino people in Arizona and across the country, and the same can be done today.